Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast with Kevin Harrington and Seth Green. Kevin Harrington is the inventor of the infomercial, one of the original sharks from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and has generated over $5 billion in TV and digital direct response sales. Seth Green is the world's first trusted authority on cutting-edge direct response marketing, a best-selling author, and the only three-time Marketer of the Year nominee. On the podcast, Kevin and Seth interview sharkpreneurs who share straight talk on what it takes to explode your business.
Why do so many businesses struggle while others seem to explode overnight? Do you wish you had the secret to this type of exponential growth? Now, I've scaled more than 20 businesses to over $100 million, and it's not just luck. In my new book with Mark Tim, Mentor to Millions, you'll learn the repeatable framework I use in all my business ventures for massive success. Order at kevinmentor.com and get over $1,000 in bonuses. Head to kevinmentor.com.
Welcome to the Sharkpreneur Podcast. This is your co-host, Seth Green. Today, I have the good fortune to be joined by Isaac Kuhlman, a powerhouse Amazon brand developer with an astounding track record. Since 2013, he has developed Amazon brands to the nexus of 12 million in sales. He has had his own seven-figure success with his best-selling Sourcing Products course, in which he shares his time-tested expertise in sourcing products from China. He joined forces with Christy Verity to co-found Real Coaching in 2015, and since has personally coached over 1,000 Amazon sellers to achieve profitable new heights in their FBA businesses. Isaac, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Seth.
It is our pleasure. Let's go back in time. I know you weren't always an Amazon guru. How did you get started?
Yeah, so it was actually kind of a fortuitous event. I was an operations manager at a go-kart facility in Las Vegas at the time. And it was an indoor go-kart facility. It was actually run by my now wife's godfather. And that's where I met my wife, actually, was at that facility. And so I was running the business for them. So that way I was trying to essentially take a non-profitable location and turn profit on it. And using a bunch of metrics and learning the ins and outs of the customer habits, actually, for the first time when that location, I think had been open for like 2 years at the time and never made profit for a single month, turned that around, made it profitable for four straight months before then I left the company to work with an Amazon seller. And how that happened was one day this guy came in with a couple of buddies and they're racing and he was kind of better than the other two. I think he'd had some practice or something like that. So they got out of their carts and I was like, hey, I noticed you're doing pretty good out there, but you know, would you like to learn how to be better at racing the track? And he's like, absolutely. So I drew out a map of the track and showed him how to hit the turns and, you know, roll through the turns with the speed and hit the apex and all that stuff. And sure enough, his worst lap was faster than his fastest lap on the next race. He gets out and he's like, sign me up for like 10 more races. I'll got to get better and better and better. So lo and behold, we became friends over the next couple of months. And, you know, long story short, we kind of started talking about what he did. And he was like, well, I sell on Amazon. And I was like, well, what does that mean? He's like, well, I get branded products from China. Essentially, I make my own brand of cell phone accessories and then I sell them on Amazon. So I was like, okay, well, he's like, I'm looking for somebody to help me run my business because I work too much in it. I work pretty much day and night if I have to. And I have a couple of customer service agents, but they only work 9 to 5. So, you know, there's some overlap here. I'd like to figure out how to manage that. And I was like, well, I know how to run a business. I don't know anything about Amazon. So we kind of sat down, we talked about it. We kind of went to his house where he had a couple computers there set up and stuff like that. And just started looking over the business. And I was like, okay, well, I can see that there's things that can be improved upon by metrics here and stuff like that. And understood his business model. And it kind of proved to me that it wasn't just like, hey, it could disappear tomorrow. Having said that, literally the day before I was actually supposed to start working and I'd already quit my other job, his account got shut down. And
oh my goodness.
I was like, it was $300,000 a month at the time plus.
Wow.
And his account got shut down. And I was like, wow, I just quit my job and I've got nothing to fall back on. Now I have to crawl back to my other job. But he was like, you know, don't worry about it. We'll actually figure it out. It's definitely a huge setback, but we've got cash in the bank from the previous month. So by the time we get it back up and running, it'll be a big dip in the sales for now, but we'll figure it out. And so that's what we did. So over the next couple of months, I had to figure out how to do everything from scratch because you can't reuse that seller account anymore. So we had to figure out how to open new seller accounts. We had to remove 90,000 pieces of inventory from Amazon.
Oh my God. Which is a
$45,000 bill right there from just that. And then we had to send them slowly but surely back into Amazon without running out of stock, without having to fulfill it all ourselves. And then also make sure that all of our ranking and stuff that was on the previous products come back and then launch new products to get ranking on those products. So it was literally like a big crash course, a dumpster fire, if you will. But that's, you know, in the next 6 months from, that was from April. And then by December, we were up to $500,000 a month. So it was a pretty quick turnaround, but a quick lessons learned for sure.
Wow. So there's so much in that one answer that we could probably spend the entire interview unpacking. And if it's not in a book, it probably should be. We're not going to spend the whole time on just that, but I have to. So as marketers, we're used to like Facebook accounts, ad accounts getting shut down.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a problem where Amazon could say, we don't care that you have 50,000 SKUs sitting in our warehouse somewhere. We don't want it anymore. So yeah, that's a heck of a lot worse than your ad account getting shut down and just needing a new ad account.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, we spent the whole summer literally just getting boxes back from Amazon, repacking them, sending them back in.
Not free shipping both ways.
No, it's not.
Wow. I did not even know that was a risk. There's obviously a whole world of Amazon reselling to be unpacked. So you were able to pull that off, turn that business around. And then what inspired you to leave that company and become the Amazon powerhouse you are now?
Yeah. So the first thing I should mention is the reason why they got shut down wasn't for just random reason. It was a very good reason. They were pushing the envelope on how to get reviews and incentivizing customers and stuff like that. So essentially,
give us a 5-star review, you get $10 off the next order.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So that's how people know that you can't do that. Exactly. So there's reasons why people know that you can't do that. And it's because a lot of big sellers actually did it, got shut down. Literally, two other sellers who some people may know from The Amazing Selling Machine were also in that group that same day got shut down. So that was like three accounts that totaled $1 million in a month all shut down at the same time. So what really, you know, through that learning process, I realized that you got to run the business the right way. Unless you want to just sit there and relaunch your business every couple of months, you have to do it in a sustainable manner. So after working a couple of, you know, seasons with that, saying, look, I got to go my own way because I got to make this like work the way that I think it should work. And I can't just keep doing the down and dirty little tactics. It doesn't make sense. Like, it's not my kind of style. I don't like to do that. I don't like to bend the rules to the point where Amazon's going to keep shutting stuff down. I didn't like to do the manual labor of reboxing and sending stuff back in either. So there were a lot of reasons in there, like little pieces, and then basically just said, you know what, I'm going to go do it myself. And I'd already launched Sourcing Profits. That was the course that you're mentioning, which was a 7-figure course in 2015, where it was actually me and the other guy that was launched it with another guy who was an internet marketer to get it to 7 figures. But I authored it. I even was one of the trainers in that course. And through that, I started realizing that there was a lot of people out there that just kind of had issues here and there. And they needed somebody to just like bounce that off of, like, personally, like, hey, I need you to take a look at some of the stuff about my business, not just give me a generic answer. Cause that's what most coaching in the space is like, hey, we'll give you a hypothetical answer based on the most likely scenario, but that's not always the case. Sometimes they got a very specific issue that if you just looked for like a couple of seconds at their data or whatever, you could quickly say like, hey, I know your product now. I can actually look at this and make some sense out of it. So that's what I started doing. And we call that coaching, like not teaching, it's actually coaching. So me and Kirsty, my business partner, met in 2015, and we are doing the same thing. Like, we were finding a lot of people having these same issues, common mistakes, just flat out not making things work the way they want. But we were, you know, trying to teach people stuff for free and coach them for free because we just wanted to help. And we realized that people didn't take answers and guidance when they didn't have to pay for it, which seems crazy because
now people who pay attention.
Exactly. So I remember doing an 8-hour session where we had 6 or 8 people in a little classroom and training them on Amazon. Not one of them even went to start an Amazon business. And they got everything that I basically knew at that time for free. And we were just trying to help our friends essentially. So then Kirstie and I kind of met together, said, look, if we want to do this, let's do it right. Let's get some structure behind it. Let's put some videos together. Let's actually make coaching calls on a structure and then get some people in there. So we did that. And that's pretty much since 2015, how we've been running the coaching. And both of us have our own successful Amazon businesses. I actually just launched my second brand about a month ago. So I'm very excited about that. And we'll be obviously selling, you know, for the near future as well, for sure.
Well, congratulations on all the success you've achieved. So you turned around the first company, turned around the go-kart track, then turned around the Amazon business, then created your course on what you learned, grew that, started coaching over 1,000 different Amazon sellers. What are some of the biggest, most common mistakes you see Amazon sellers making that you're helping them avoid?
Yeah, there's quite a few, but I would say the number one thing that they're doing is they're not accounting for their budget versus how much it actually takes to run the business. And I say that because there's a million other mistakes that they can make along the way. But what most people will do is they'll find a product that seems to be doing okay with a certain process that they learned from somewhere out there on the internet. And they say, okay, I need to order 500 units of this. It's going to cost me $8,000. And they order that $500 units because it's like, you know, $12 or $15 a cost of goods per unit. And then they ship it and they're like, oh man, the shipping, I forgot about that. And then they get it to Amazon and they're like, oh, well now I can't sell anything because I've literally got no money left over. So how do I market this? So then they turn on their Amazon ads or they try to do whatever, any sort of different way. And they end up spending $10,000, $15,000 in the first 2 months on ads that they didn't account for. So now they're, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 deep into the business. And they thought it was going to be like a $2,000, $4,000, $5,000 business. And they're pretty much at that point where they want to quit only a couple months into it because they're not seeing any profit come back because they don't realize that budget is part of the entire process. You got to plan for the business to be successful. So there are products out there you can launch for $10,000 or $15,000 and be successful. That's the kind of wheelhouse that I like to sit in. But I'm not going to sit here and say that you're going to launch a product that, you know, does 1,000 units a month and costs $15 every single piece, you know, cost of goods and only do that for $10,000 or $15,000. That's not possible. You're going to need $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. You got to plan these things out. But most people just go, oh, it's got 30% profit margin. It costs $10 cost of goods, maybe $5 in shipping or whatever. And all I got to do is get it there and it'll sell. That's not how Amazon works and it never will. You have to have a plan. We call it a launch plan. You have to budget your goods and essentially make sure you have the money there and just plan ahead because then you're a lot more likely. It's kind of like that thing. If you set money aside for college, you're a lot more likely to go to college and finish college than if you don't do that. So it's the same thing with Amazon. If you set that money aside and understand what it's there for, you're a lot more likely to make a successful Amazon business.
Okay, so that makes a ton of sense. Let's back up a second. So when they're becoming an Amazon bestseller, they are not, what does that mean? Because a lot of folks still don't even know what that means yet. Does this mean it's like Etsy and I'm physically making necklaces, sending them to Amazon and they're selling them? Is this, I have 10,000 boxes now in my garage and I got to figure out what to do? What does being, in your mind, an FBA Amazon seller mean?
Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff that we don't do either of those things for the most part, unless there's some sort of weird scenario. Like actually right now, Amazon has a little issue with their warehouses being over full. So we do have to kind of store some of our goods at our house for now, some of us in the US, but that's not a requirement. And in fact, that's not the typical way this business runs. Almost every other year and every other, you know, quarter, we've never had to send anything to ourselves. What we do is we get products made, and it doesn't matter where you get them made. Ideally, you just want great quality products at an affordable price for people to buy on Amazon. It's essentially value shopping, right? You don't want the cheapest, dirtiest thing. You definitely don't want the most luxurious version of something because that's not how people necessarily shop on Amazon. That's how people shop at Walmart maybe, or on eBay, for example. They don't shop like that on Amazon. You're kind of thinking like the Target customer, like people that shop at Target. That's the kind of people you're trying to target. No pun intended, I guess.
In market.
Yeah. So what we do is we get our products manufactured. Now, most of the products that we manufacture come from China, Korea, Hong Kong, someplace in Southeast Asia, but there are lots of manufacturers all across the world, in Europe, in the US, Mexico, South America, depending on what kind of products you're trying to source and sell. Now, what we do is we start with a brand, because we're not going to sit there and say, I can sell any product on Amazon and people will buy from me. Because if you don't really know the products, you don't really understand the consumer, you're not really going to understand how to sell it and how to stand out on Amazon. So we start with a brand, we develop that, and then we start looking around on Amazon for product opportunities that actually fit. Now, we have a big ass spreadsheet that essentially tells you, are these good or not? And we don't just go in there and guess. Like, we don't just let it feel like it's going to work. We actually do the data, and that's, you know, 90% of what we're actually making decisions on. So we fill that out. We make sure that everything looks good based on our research, and then we move forward with the product. So basically what we say is, hey, factories wherever, China, Korea, even Vietnam, even sometimes, I'm going to go get these products, or, you know, essentially I'll get a sourcing agent, because I hate doing that part myself.
I was going to ask, you're not flying to China in the age of COVID and inspecting factories and talking to people?
No, not right now. Like, I have been to China about 7 or 8 times, but I'm not flying there anytime soon. We will just hire somebody on the ground that works for us, that essentially we come to an agreement with, say, go find us 10, 15 factories that can give us quotes and lead times and manufacturing information. And then we'll kind of get the data back in a spreadsheet. We'll kind of negotiate things based on what looks the best. And we'll say, get us some samples of the best ones that look like from the data here, the comparison chart, and say, okay, send me samples from these 3 to 5 factories. I want to see what they look like. I want to see the quality. And then you also order your competitors' products from Amazon to see what kind of quality they have. And then you kind of just, you know, weigh up which one's the best and which one you can go for and which one's affordable that you can compete and be profitable on Amazon. Then you push that through, and then you get your packaging design, you get all that stuff. And then you, if in normal, situations, you would just say, all right, factory, I'm going to get a logistics company, what we call freight forwarder, to move my goods from your factory straight to Amazon's warehouses. I never touch my products, generally speaking. I only ever have to have an inspection company inspect it in China. And then every so often I'll have maybe 2, 3, 10, maybe 15 units sent to me, just because I might hand them out to friends or family. I might actually use them myself. But generally speaking, I don't even have to do that if I don't want to. A lot of people will think, well, I have to see it myself. You don't. You're actually causing extra delay and extra cost to your products every single time you do that. So now it's harder for you to make profit, and it takes you longer to get into stock. So you can actually cut a lot of that out by having your goods inspected in China. You'll get a pretty thorough report, and you can ask any questions or have them redo anything that comes up as odd for you or doesn't look good.
That is absolutely fascinating. So who should become an Amazon? I mean, obviously you can help existing Amazon sellers become more successful. Yep. Who should become an Amazon bestseller if they're not already? Who is this an ideal business for?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I actually never really wanted to run my own business. But then when I started making a lot of money for other people and that never came back to me, I was like, maybe it is time I run my own business, because I can see like all this money, like, hey, I've just made this much money over here. And I was supposed to be, you know, profit share in this company or whatever, that never came through. So after a few of those kinds of instances where it's like the harder you work, the same amount of money you make, that kind of, it's like the straw that breaks the camel's back, right? So I literally would say, you know, I can't say that everybody wants to run their own business. If you like your job, and if you're actually making good money and you're comfortable, I would say almost always that type of situation is not a good fit for starting your own business, because you'll, if it's hard, you'll just quit and you'll go back to what's comfortable. If you are not happy or you're uncomfortable about your current situation, that's probably actually a better fit. If you just want to break free and do something different, I actually did it because I was a 31 or 32 at the time. And I just said, I don't want to spend all my good years wishing that I would have done something different. Now, not everybody's going to be that young. Some people will be younger. I know a guy who started his business in college. He makes more money than me on Amazon. He's done incredibly well. So there are people that, you know, can do it at any age. We have sellers everywhere from 20 to 72 or something like that. And everybody wants something different. So you don't need to make $10 million on Amazon. All you really need to do is create the lifestyle you want. So if you make $60,000 a year, and that's good enough to live your lifestyle that you want, maybe you decide to move to Cancun, Mexico, and live there for however much money it takes to live there. It's not as much as here, that's for sure. And you decide that's the kind of lifestyle you want. Absolutely. You can trade your lifestyle now for that type of lifestyle using an Amazon business, because you don't need to physically be somewhere. And it's like Warren Buffett said, if you can't find a way to make money while you sleep, you'll work until you die. And that's exactly the thought process you should have about every single time you punch a clock to go to work is, I will keep working to make money until I die, until I find a way to make money while I'm not working, essentially while I'm sleeping. That's what Amazon does. You know, you can do that with investments. But there's very few things out there that are truly passive income. And I won't say Amazon is, but it's the probably the least amount of work you'll have to put into a building a business, and one of the least amount of capitals you'll actually have to do that. Because starting a franchise, you probably know hundreds of thousands of dollars, up to $2 million for like a McDonald's franchise, for example. You're not going to.
And that's not helping anybody.
Yeah. And you're not going to be making money for probably 6 to 8 years. You might make a salary, but you're not going to actually be turning profit as a franchise owner for years. Same with real estate. You can flip houses, but it might take a year to make $30,000 on a house. And you're like, I just worked a year for $30,000. You can start an Amazon business with, you know, way less of that money, and you can make $30,000 in a year easily as kind of like a part-time job. So we never want people to trade a job for a job. We would rather you said, look, if my lifestyle is I want to work 4 hours a day or 2 hours a day or whatever it is, we try to make it like 4 to 8 hours a week, like Tim Ferriss says, 4 hour work week.
Yeah.
And just move into that situation where, yeah, you might have to do some upfront heavy lifting for a couple months. But after that, it's kind of like just layer on a new product, get somebody to kind of run your customer service. And it's, you just build a small manageable team of like 2 to 3 people, sourcing agent, customer service agent, somebody who maybe does data entry, and that could be the customer service agent. And you kind of just build a small team out. And those types of employees, generally speaking, are overseas types of employees, VAs, we call them, virtual assistants. And they cost maybe like for 2 or 3 of them, it might cost you $1,000 a month. So if you're making $4,000 a month for Amazon sales, all that stuff's actually pretty much paid for by the business. Maybe not at 4,000, but maybe at $10,000 in sales, maybe $2,000-$3,000 in profit. And that's already paid for. Plus you can put some money back in the bank and start building that and scaling it. So it doesn't take as much to be profitable. It doesn't take as long to be profitable. And you don't have to slave away for somebody else to make this work. It's just a matter of growth mindset of, hey, there's an abundance of help out there, abundance of wealth out there. And don't limit myself to thinking that it's not going to be me.
Wow. Okay. So obviously we're not making any income claims on this podcast. Standard legal disclaimers apply.
For sure.
What, with all the success you've achieved, what's your biggest challenge now?
Yeah, I think it's not so much motivation. It's just trying to focus my efforts on the things that I need to focus on every single day. And I'm pretty good at self-motivation and management of my time, but it's like, sometimes it's like, all right, now I want to go faster than I can. And I know that I shouldn't. So it's always trying to restrain what you want to do. So, hey, here's the coaching thing. We can do this. We can just layer on, but it's like, we don't want to do that because then we don't want to ruin the integrity of the coaching program. Same with the Amazon business. If I just throw a bunch of products up there, I know that I'm not going to get the same quality for each one. Some things are going to slip through the crack. So you kind of have to go at a certain pace, and everybody will have a slightly different pace. But if you go too fast in any business, you're going to stop at some point and go, man, I really wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I would have thought about this just a little bit longer and started to actually implement these at the right time. And I think that's probably just, it's not so frustrating as it's just like, you just know it, but it's like, man, can I get like 2 months of that like faster? Can I just do this a couple months faster? And if you do it, then you're like, oh, now I've like the cash flow on the business is strained, or time management is an issue. And you just want to make sure that you build the business and scale it the right way and not just throw a bunch of money in there and hope it works, or spend all your time doing something and then realize, oh, I've just, you know, my family hasn't seen me eat dinner with them in 3 months. Those are kinds of sacrifices you can make short term, but you have to make that plan or just make sure that you scale the right way.
Awesome. Your passion is obvious. What do you like best about what you're doing in terms of coaching over 1,000 sellers?
Yeah. So I always try to tell people, look, you know, I'm not a millionaire. I don't drive a Lamborghini. I drive a freaking Toyota Corolla. I'm not out there trying to say, hey, you can make $1 million. You can, but I'm not saying that's typical, nor am I saying that's going to be you. What I will say is you can earn a living from an Amazon business. And what I love about the coaching is that when I was in college, when I was younger, I always wanted to, because I grew up really poor. Like I remember eating cornflakes for three meals a day or a raw potato just because I liked raw potatoes at the time. I'm like, that was my dinner sometimes. Like we grew up real poor. But I knew that that was only a temporary thing, right? Like being poor is not a permanent thing. You can grow from that. So what I did, it was essentially in my head, and I knew this from early age, soon as I got an opportunity to be successful at something, I was going to turn around and try to help that, you know, another person get that same success. And so that's my favorite thing about this, is that we've actually helped people, you know, pay off $250,000 in debt. We've helped people quit their job and go traveling with their family for an entire year. We've helped people, you know, get to $300,000-$400,000 in Amazon sales per month. You know, these are life-changing events that not only do they actually, you know, change their mentality about where they are in life, but then they actually start redreaming again. Like they change their sky is the limit attitude. Like here's the limit before. And then now once they get to somewhere, the limit has changed. So, you know, everyone always has a bucket list, and my business partner, Kirsty, she had a vision board that, she, you know, when she first started, she was like, I want to do all this stuff in like 3 years, 4 years time. Like with it, she had done it all within a year, because it was like, you don't have to change that much to be able to do this stuff. You just have to stop doing the grind of going to work a lot of times and supplement that somehow. So for example, one of the things we always have is people are like, we say, build your vision for you and your business in 3 years time. And we got this idea from Cameron Harold, who is an author.
Yep. Cameron's been on the show multiple times.
Yeah. He's a great guy. His Vivid Vision is just an awesome, yes. Like it's like a time machine. You can take your brain into the future and you can even see things that happened in the past that haven't happened to you yet. Cause you're thinking 3 years in the future. And then you're like, oh, in that person's mind, I'm daydreaming about something that happened last, you know, the year before, which is still 2 years in your future. So it's like a time machine. So what we do is we kind of have people think like, what are these things that you want to do? What would you classify yourself as being successful when your business hits the point where you're successful? And so we build these people, well, they build it themselves. They build this vision for themselves. And it's always stuff like, oh, I'd like to exercise three times a week. I want to eat better. I want to stop drinking so much. I want to stop smoking. It's like, you don't need to wait 3 years to do any of that stuff. You can do that now. And the best part about the Amazon business is you can start living the lifestyle a little bit while you're even working. So for example, I have a client who she was like, I really want to go golfing on a Monday. Just take a Monday off and go golfing with my friend, because that's all his day off and I can't go because I'm working. I'm like, you have a business that does like $100,000 in sales every month or close to it on Amazon. You're telling me you can't just take a Monday off and go golfing with your buddy? And she was like, oh yeah, I guess I could. And I was like, all right, so here's your goal for the next month. Take a Monday off and go golfing. And she did. And I asked her, how was it? She's like, it was like the best thing ever. So this is like a miniature example of living the lifestyle while you're growing your Amazon business. You know, the very first thing I do with any money that I took out of my Amazon business was me and my wife went to Mexico for about 2 weeks. And I had never been to Mexico. Her family are from Mexico. She's from Las Vegas, but her family's all from Mexico. And so we got to spend some time with her family. She got to see her grandma and grandpa and all that stuff. And I got to meet them. We also went to Puerto Vallarta for 4 days, where I almost died because you should never do an all you can drink, all you can eat resort. That's just a bad idea. especially with a bunch of your friends who are also like,
yes,
happy got to it. Go all day. They're British and Australians and stuff. That's just bad news. But yeah, so that was the very first thing. Essentially, even before my Amazon business was doing great, I was still taking some money and living the lifestyle I wanted from that Amazon business. I think that whole trip cost like $2,500, but I didn't want to pay it out of pocket. I just said, okay, my Amazon business will pay me a dividend for the quarter four or whatever. I'm going to go to Mexico. So these are the kinds of things that you can do. These, you know, I love traveling. I've been to, I don't know, 13, 15 countries, something like that. Went to Oktoberfest for the first time, like last year, not this year, obviously, but last year.
That is absolutely incredible. Isaac, I know your time is incredibly valuable. For our folks who want to learn more about getting into the Amazon seller business or improving one they've already got, where is the best place for them to go to find you and learn more about you?
Yeah, so all you have to do is go to goteamreal.com. So like football team, goteamreal.com. And we got some free training there. You can reach out to us. If you have any questions, feel free just to we got a little chat bar there, the live chat thing. ask us questions. We'll try to help you out, set up a call or something like that. We can talk with you about it.
Awesome. We greatly appreciate it. This has been Seth Green with Isaac Kuhlman from GoTeamReal.com. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks to everybody for watching or listening, and we'll talk to you or see you next time.
Do you need money to fund your idea, product, or service? Are you ready to take your business to the next level but need capital to get it done? Kevin Harrington has heard more than 50,000 pitches and knows how to help you make the perfect pitch to get the funding for your entrepreneurial dream. He's distilled the process down in his perfect pitch cheat sheet, and it's yours for free. Just text PITCH to him right now at 727-888-2100. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 right now and claim your free perfect pitch cheat sheet. Text PITCH to 727-888-2100 to start funding your dream today.
This show has been produced by Market Domination, LLC. To discover how you can have your own show completely done for you and turn it into a real published book and become the authority in your marketplace, go to www.marketdominationllc.com/podcast offer.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.